Let's open our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. We really are living in a war zone today, and we better awaken to that reality. The fact is that we have an enemy, Satan, whom Jesus says has come to steal, kill, and destroy. We are surrounded by a sinful, confused culture that is constantly dragging us in the wrong direction. And all of this is a challenge to us because of our own sinful, selfish nature that is so vulnerable to the temptation of Satan and to the cares of this world. And that is why we need the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God to show us how to live our lives out there in the streets, what we're calling street smarts in this series in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs says that wisdom is crying out in the streets because that's where we need it. Out there where we live our lives every day with our families and at our work and school and wherever else we may engage other people. And one of the common themes that runs all the way through the book of Proverbs is one that is of interest to us today on this Father's Day, is the great value of a wise man conveying his wisdom and teaching his wisdom to his children. In fact, at least a dozen times in the book of Proverbs, you will hear something like this: "My son, listen carefully to what I am telling you. Walk in this path." You hear it over and over again, the value of a wise father conveying his wisdom to his children. And then we have passages like our text today, Proverbs 20 and verse 7, that says that a righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. Now, he talks here, first of all, about the man's character. He talks about a righteous man, a man who is right and just and fair, who leads a blameless life. We're talking here about walking a walk of integrity. And what the Proverbs is describing here is not just a man who lives a good life. He's talking here about a man who lives a godly life. And there's a big difference. So he talks about the man's character, but also he talks about the man's influence. Blessed are his children after him. So there's something that happens to the generations after him when this kind of righteous man is walking this kind of blameless life, this walk of integrity, that his children will be blessed. Why? Because God chooses to bless when people walk the path of righteousness. And God in his perfect wisdom has determined, has desired, that should be taught to children through their fathers. And so this is an important theme running all the way through the book of Proverbs. Now, to drive this point home for us today, I've invited some friends to join me here on the stage. I'm going to ask them to come up here. You know, we have so many strong families in our church. Good dads, great dads who are leading children to know and to follow and to share Jesus Christ. And there are scores of dads and children that I could have asked to help me today, but for the sake of time and space here on the stage, I have limited it to four. First of all, here's Mike and Andrew Peterson, and you probably know them, very active in the life of our church. And then John Milam and Elizabeth Gray here also joining me. And then Tate and Caleb Chesney. And then Ed York and his daughter Debbie May. Now, each of these fathers had other children that could be on the stage. But again, for the sake of space, I've asked just one of their children to come. And I wanted to let you hear today how they are attempting, and I will just say from the start, they will tell you they are not perfect. These are not perfect dads, nor are they perfect children. None of us have that. But I wanted you just to hear how they try to convey their wisdom. And so, Mike, let me just start with you. As you and Amy raised your children, What did you try to keep in mind? What was it that you really wanted to impart to your children?
Well, Pastor, first of all, I wanted to thank you for letting me go first and ahead of John, because I'm sure I won't be nearly as entertaining as what he has to say. And I'm also thankful that we didn't have a hidden camera in our car every Sunday morning on the way to church, or our public wouldn't be up here either. But, you know, there was three, you know, as the pastor asked us and I started thinking back, there are three things that kind of came to mind for me. You know, when I was a newlywed with my bride, Amy, I made a commitment then that I was going to have a certain priority in my life, and it was going to be God first, my spouse second, and my children third. And I think God blessed that. I think that is the appropriate priority for a man to have in his life. And I think that by having that priority, God blesses all three areas. And so that was something that was very important to us. And because of that, we were very committed to be active in a body of believers. And so there was never a question in our house on Sunday morning on whether we were going to church or not. It was everybody got up and got ready, and some quicker than others, but we got to the car and got to church every single Sunday, and it was never a question. I firmly believe that the job that God gives us with raising children is beyond just our capabilities, and through that, our children were able to connect with not only us pouring into them Scripture, but many other adults. I mean, I think of so many people that impacted Andrew. You know, Bob Estill, Butch Gaucher, just so many other people that just come to my mind that really spent time with Andrew, pouring into him, Daniel Langford, and some of the other youth workers. And then for our daughter, Emily Gentry, Leanna Randall, Sherry Tucker, just names after name come to my mind. And we work in students, so we know how important that is. And there are statistics that say that students need to have four people pour into them in order to ground them in their faith. And through that, we have seen the evidence with our children. As they've left the home, they've stayed active and committed to their church and served wherever they've been placed. And so that's been a blessing to us. And then the last thing I will say is Andrew and I share a love and a passion for sports, particularly Baylor sports. We're both graduates of Baylor. It's been a little quiet around our house the last few weeks. But the opportunities that we've had in going to different sporting events, even from when he was a kid, taking him to practice, I was very intentional in using that time with him to develop a deeper relationship to where he knew that he could come to me with anything. I was my prayer. And through that connection we had and time we spent in something as silly as sports really allowed us to grow closer. And we've had some of our deepest man-to-man conversations even in the last few years as we've traveled down to basketball games in Waco and football games. So the biggest advice would be make that connection with your kids. Spend time. You can't minimize the time you spend with them.
Andrew, can you think of an occasion when you really saw this and felt this impact from your dad?
Yes. A specific time that I first thought of growing up, there was one day when I was in elementary school where my dad was like, okay, we're going to spend a day together. What do you want to do? And so I was like, let's go to Six Flags. That was my favorite place to go at the time. So we go to Six Flags. We get there when it opens, and we stayed till it closed. We rode every ride twice and some of them three times. And even as a kid, I could see and I knew that there's probably other things he would have chosen to do, but he honored me and let me choose what we're doing. But then he spent that day talking to me, being intentional in conversation with me, just building a relationship. And there was many different times I had growing up where we had times like that where we just hung out, and I could see that my dad was pursuing me and wanted a deep relationship with me. And I think it was a great example of our Heavenly Father through that, because just like that, our Heavenly Father pursues us and wants to know us individually. And I saw that in my dad. And so, like, just like he said, and because of that, he was someone I felt like later in life where I can come to with any of my burdens, and just like we can come to God with any of our burdens. And so I was very blessed and thankful to have a dad that I could come to with any of the junk growing up, and as you're a teenager and going through, even through college, I could ask him questions regarding car questions, or I could ask him, you know, before I was going to propose, what do I need to do? But then I also could come to him with spiritual questions as well. So very blessed.
Well, thank you. John and Janie Milam have raised two kids, and Elizabeth is here, Elizabeth Gray. And John, what did you have in mind as you were striving to be a godly father?
Well, I tell you, Mike and I kind of have something in common. We both have heart conditions, and I think it's probably because we had kids. I've realized that really through having grandkids and having them for about a day, and realized that we just didn't know. You know, I kind of call the whole time of growing up with our kids, it was just such a beautiful time, and they say it passes in a flash of an eye, and it really does. I label it really the controlled panic years, because I just felt like I didn't know what I was supposed to do as a dad. We had kids so young and just didn't know what we were supposed to do, but we knew we were to love them, and we loved them. And one thing that I was brought up, I was almost born in church. My mom actually went into labor after Wednesday night prayer meeting and went to the hospital, and I was born Thursday morning at 2:00. So my parents basically kept me in church my whole life. And I knew that when we moved here from Abilene after finishing school that we needed to find a church home. And when we came here and we finally landed at Travis, and we've been here for about 31 years, I knew that we had, and that we had a place where we could make friends and have the support, like Mike said, of other godly couples that would help us through these situations and know that we're not perfect. You know, I heard a smart man say a few weeks ago that the only absolute requirement for being a member of the church is that you know you're not perfect. And one thing that I knew early on, Elizabeth, she probably doesn't want me to tell this because she was actually in the bathtub as a child singing it, but I knew I had a good one when I heard her sing a song, and it went like this: I love everybody, even those I don't. And she's got musical abilities that just far beyond mine. I had it on cassette recording, but I can't find that cassette. But I always remember that line, and I remember that she was picking that up from what she was learning here at church. One thing I really have found in the years as I've gotten older is that the older I get, the more I know that I don't know everything. And one verse that we used to sing it, actually, and I'm not going to sing it because it was kind of a country western feel to it, and but it's Galatians 5:22-23, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and we used to say, and self-control. That's all I'm going to sing of the song, but that verse has really been one that I've tried to say, I need to model that in my life, and hopefully that'll pass off to my children.
Elizabeth, one experience, one occasion when you really felt that from your dad?
There are so many, and because I love to tell stories about my dad, I've got notes because I would talk for way longer than I'm supposed to. But when I think of my dad, I think of humor and encouragement. Those are the two words that come to mind. He's taught me a lot about being involved in other people's lives. Of course, my mom had a lot to do with that as well. And they've also taught me about being in fellowship with other people and staying in fellowship with people, believers. And one verse that comes to mind when I think of how my father has taught me that is James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Another thing he's taught me is that nothing's ever permanent, that in life things are always changing, and so to not get too bent out of shape about any one thing that's happening. And I'm going to try to juggle this, sorry. My notes are on my phone. But on a verse that hung on our wall when I was little and it stayed with me is Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And I remember reading that as a child and not really knowing what that meant that young, but carrying that with me and learning pretty quickly through adulthood what that means, and that each new day we have a chance for God to work in our lives and to make all things good. And the other thing I will say about my dad, and then I'll give the example of a specific situation, is that one thing he always told me is that we all have to do things we don't want to do. And that is so true. But that we should always make the most of each day. And so in 1 Thessalonians again, 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So the last verse I will share before I share my quick experience, my quick memory, is that my dad's most famous quote is that everyone is someone else's weirdo. And that means that we're someone's weirdo too. So above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And I think that through my childhood and even more so in adulthood, just learning to be genuine and to be honest about our faults and about our weaknesses, and to encourage each other. And that's what I've learned most from my dad, like I said, is encouragement. And the one specific example from childhood, I call it the freckle story. I was in middle school and struggling through the awkward years of middle school, and I hated my freckles. And my dad was encouraging me that they were beautiful. And so he got out every magazine he could find in our house and found all of the models with freckles on their face and showed me how beautiful they were. And what's funny is that years later he told me it was very hard to find those photos of models with freckles. But in the moment it made me feel good, and it taught me to be proud of who God had made me. So,
well, thank you, Elizabeth. That's great. Tate and Debbie Chesney have raised a house full of boys, or are raising a house full of boys. And so, Tate, quickly, what's been your focus as a dad?
Well, first of all, Pastor, thanks for letting me go first. Caleb thought that if he positioned himself accordingly that he'd be able to pull it off. But kind of repeat what Mike said earlier. You know, every dad wants to succeed with his children, but for me, apart from loving God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, as an earthly father, the single greatest charge that I have is to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And that is a selfless, sacrificial love. And the more I'm able to do that, I find that I'm able to more completely and fully love my children. Now, deep down, all dads dream of releasing their boys out into the world as men who have solid character and are highly competent, and they have a true purpose and noble aspirations. But this doesn't happen passively, obviously. It's an active process. And Scripture tells us that we are to take God's commandments, place them on our hearts, and impress them upon our children. And we're to talk about them morning and evening, at the house and when you're on a walk or driving down the road, regardless of where we're at or what time of day it is, God is supposed to not be compartmentalized, but to be a part of every aspect of our lives. And so we try to be intentional in a number of ways. The first, most obvious way is being plugged into and being involved with a healthy, well-balanced church like Travis. We're so thankful for the church body and all of the people and relationships we've developed, and so thankful for you, Pastor Dean, and your leadership. But other ways that I've tried to take an intentional role in this is when they were adolescents, preteens, I would take a trip individually with each one, and it would just be a road trip. So they were kind of, I had their full undivided attention, and whether or not they wanted to give it to me or not. And we would talk about things like peer pressure and puberty, what's coming up, and self-image, things like that. when they turned 13, we took a bigger trip. It would be several days to a week, and we would do lots of adventure stuff. But again, it would just be me and my son. And we would talk about much deeper things. What does it mean to be a biblical man? And to borrow a definition from Robert Lewis, a biblical man is a man who rejects passivity, who accepts responsibility, leads courageously, serves faithfully, and expects a greater reward, God's reward for being diligent and pursuing and chasing after him. And I think the coolest thing that I've done for all this, my sons yet, and they've all been so special, is rather than having a birthday party, which birthday parties are great, but we would commemorate their 13-year-old birthday with a celebration where we would invite family and friends and have lots of good food. It's very important when you commemorate things with sons. You've got to have a lot of food. And they would, there were several men that were significant in their lives, pastor, principal, coach, family members that would charge my sons with a specific area. Could be from purity to service to honesty. And then from there, it was kind of just a foundation and springboard for hopefully what we try to model at home as a mom and dad. And I think that we're living it out as a family, is we try to just be open and real about our faults and to seek reconciliation as we fall on God's grace and accept that. But above all things, it's trying to just set an example of loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself.
Hmm. Caleb, was there something that really just grabbed you, something your dad did or said on an occasion that really just made this come alive for you?
Well, there's one time that specifically, but before that, he talked about how he loves my mom with all of his heart and soul, mind, and strength. Well, he loves God and he loves my mom as Christ loved the church, and I really see that in my dad. And so what one thing that I know I'll take specifically from him as I go later in my life is how to love my future wife, or not just that, but any woman around me. He's taught me the true love and respect just through his actions and not just how he's talked to me too. And but my one specific time was surprisingly not on our trips that we taken, which were great. Having those discussions with you really helped me. But the one specific time was on the Warrior Weekend that Travis provided us the opportunity to go to. In between paintball and killing quail, we had the opportunity to sit down and just have a man-on-man discussion. Or I guess man-on-boy discussion at the time, just about everything, and specifically the struggles of being a young man and the sin that you face. And I know that I personally was facing a few of them, that discussion itself helped me through those things, and I've gotten past them now, and I've actually been able to help a few of my friends at school with the same exact things that he said to me, that their dads weren't there to say to them. So I just know how thankful I am for that, and I just love them for it.
You're a blessed young man. Amen. Well, Ed and Laura Jean York are relative newcomers to our church. Ed, how long have y'all been in Travis?
Well, my wife has been here since 1925 and I've been here since 1932.
So you're the newcomer, huh?
Newcomers.
Well, this is their daughter, Debbie May. Ed, as a dad through the years, what is it that you've tried to keep in mind and model before your children?
Well, Laura Jean and I have been blessed with three children. And I guess I could divide it into three areas. Number one, we wanted them to learn that they had responsibilities when they were young. And as they grew older, that those responsibilities would get bigger and they needed to live up to those responsibilities. We felt that they had to have respect for all people as they grew up, and we tried to instill that in them. But you know, the most important thing that we thought had not only to do with them as individuals, their relationship with the family, but their relationship with the Lord and their church. Sometimes one of our daughters would say, "It looks like we go there every time they open the door." And that's what we wanted them to feel, that it was important to take part in the activities of church. This included Sunday school and church on Sunday morning, training union and church on Sunday night, which we don't do anymore. Wednesday night, we want them to be active in RAs, in GAs, in choir, and Wednesday night service. So we did have them pretty well here whenever the doors opened. They took part in all these activities, your youth camp and everything. And I just hope and have prayed that as they were taught to pray, as they were taught to give to the church, that we have been an example to them.
Debbie, can you think of one incident? I know that's probably difficult through the years of having such a great and godly dad.
Well, both of my parents have been great examples of being Christian parents, and really instilling us the responsibility to serve at our church. I just really want to kind of talk about what he's done all his life. He's taught in Sunday school, 60 or 70 years, I'm not sure. Benevolence, he's here on Wednesdays and Fridays doing benevolence room. He takes his widows to the bank or to the grocery store. Just really serving as the hands and feet of Christ. And that's what they've instilled in us. One specific one that stands out to me is when I was probably in middle school or something back in the 60s and 70s, and he was running the bus ministry. We had a big bus ministry back then, and Bernie Spooner challenged the workers to bring at least 1,500 students one day. That was their high attendance for the bus ministry. And he threw Dad into that. So Dad got to, he said, if we meet the goal, then Dad will walk all the way home. Well, I don't know if y'all know where we live or where they lived. It's on the other side of 20. So it's a pretty hefty walk. Needless to say, we did meet the goal. And so Dad marched in his boots and he took off his coat and tie and he marched all the way home. So that's one, instilled in us, you should be serving your church all the time in whatever capacity you can.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Debbie. And thank all of you for sharing your lives with us. And it occurs to me that you may be sitting there and thinking that you're a little discouraged because you didn't have a dad that poured into you actively and loved you in this way. Or maybe you're a dad and you're feeling discouraged now because you think about the opportunities maybe that you have wasted and you feel like a failure. Well, I just want to encourage us all today. Again, where I started, there are no perfect dads, there are no perfect kids. In fact, Solomon, the Solomon who composed and collected most of the Proverbs, didn't always live up to his own wisdom. In fact, the Bible tells us that he didn't act wisely in that, we talked last week about rejoicing in the wife of your youth and being faithful to her. Well, Solomon wasn't. The Bible tells us that he had hundreds of wives. Many of them came from the pagan nations surrounding Israel. He didn't follow his own wisdom when he said to guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. He didn't guard his heart. He allowed those pagan wives to pull his heart away from the Lord. And at the end of his life, he honestly couldn't say that he was fearing the Lord. You know, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And at the end of his life, he forgot that. And so I just want to say to us today, it's not how you start, it's how you finish that matters. And the other thing I want to say to you today is that we're not here to lift up Solomon or Mike or John or Tate or Ed or myself or any other father. We're here to lift up Jesus. Because when it says that a righteous man leads a blameless life, we can't do that in our own strength, can we? The fact is that we're all sinners and we need Jesus. So we lift up Jesus, who is the perfect manifestation of what Chris Tomlin calls in his song, a good, good father. I heard that on the way to church today. Boy, what a great reminder to us of our heavenly Father. Jesus came to perfectly represent Jesus. We look to him, not to Solomon or to any other earthly father. We look to Jesus. And when Christ comes to live within us, he said, no man can come to the Father but through me. And when Christ comes to live within us, then he imparts to us and imputes to us this righteousness so that we can live a righteous life and a blameless life, not in our own strength, but in the power that he gives to us. I want to ask you to bow your head with me, please. This morning, I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ. And maybe on this Father's Day, you really didn't come expecting for the Spirit of God to work in your heart like he has today. You're here today as a man, a woman, boy, or girl. You need Christ. And you've never put your trust in him. Right now, where you are, right now, you can just simply say, Jesus, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need you. I repent of my sins and I want to start over, start a new life with you. Right where you are, you can make that decision in your heart. Father, I pray today for all of our families. Lord, I thank you for our single adults that, Lord, perhaps desire one day to be a dad or a mom, to have a mate. And Lord, I pray that you would just brand this wisdom upon their hearts as they seek that person and seek to become the person that you are calling them to be. And now, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, and I pray in this moment of invitation and commitment and worship that our hearts will pour out toward you, and we ask in Jesus' name.